ברוכים הבאים רבותיי, welcome to a special edition of our Thursday night class. We are one week before בדיקת חמץ, and one week and a day before ליל הסדר, תשע"ח. We find ourselves before Shabbat HaGadol. Rav Hida says, when it comes to Shabbat HaGadol, we greet each other Shabbat HaGadol Shalom, as opposed to the regular greetings Shabbat Shalom, and we answer back Shabbat HaGadol Shalom Mevorach. And of course, we must analyze why is the Shabbat called Shabbat HaGadol. I did look at the calendar, and it is the same 25 hours, is no longer this Shabbat. Even though we changed the clock, it seems longer, but every Shabbat is the same exact time. It's about 25 hours with the Tosefet. So then what would be the reason why this Shabbat is called Shabbat HaGadol? Some say that it's because the speech of the Gadol, the great rabbi gives a speech, and it's a long speech. So therefore they call it Shabbat Shel HaGadol, meaning it's the Shabbat of the Gadol. The old custom was the chief rabbi of the community would give a sermon and explain all the laws of Pesach, and they called it Shabbat Shel HaGadol. Well, other reasons have been given, but the most famous is what the Tur writes. The Tur is in Siman Taf Lamed, right in the beginning of Hilchot Pesach. Let's read the Tur. Rabbeinu Yaakov Baal HaTurim. Shabbat shelifnei HaPesach korin oto Shabbat HaGadol. Shabbat before Pesach, they call Shabbat HaGadol. V'atam lefi shenaasa bo nes gadol. So he learns because of the nes gadol, the great miracle that took place. Shepesach Mitzrayim mikho be'asor. The Jewish people in Egypt were told to take a Korban Pesach. It's called Pesach Mitzrayim. They took it on the 10th day of the month of Nisan. Hidichtiv be'asor lachodesh hazeh v'yikhu lahim ish seh lebet abot seh labayit. So they took it on the 10th. U'Pesach sheyatzu Yisrael me'Mitzrayim haya b'yom hamishi. We also know that the day they came out of Mitzrayim was on a Thursday. That means the 15th was on a Thursday. That's what the Gemara says. Kedita b'seder olam. Nimsa she'asara b'chodesh haya Shabbat. So do the math. If the 15th is on a Thursday, so Shabbat becomes the 10th. V'lakhu lahim kol echad seh l'pischo. It was on that day that everybody took a sheep or lamb for the Korban Pesach. V'kashru oto b'karei mitato. And they tied it to their bedposts. V'sha'alu ma'mitzriyim, lama ze lachem? So the Mitzriyim questioned, lama ze lachem? What are you doing? Why are you taking the sheep? What are you doing with this? V'shivum l'shechato l'shem Pesach, k'mitzvat Hashem alenu. So the God told us to slaughter it, and this is what we intend to do. V'ayu shineim kahot. Their teeth became blunt, which means they couldn't answer. They lost the ability to answer. Al-Shuhatim et Elohim. They see this is their God. As we'll see in a moment, the Egyptians somehow worship this sheep. You know, like the Indians, you have holy cow. You have over here holy sheep, holy seh. Ve'lo ayu rasha'im lomar lahem davar. Miraculously, they couldn't answer. They should have taken a revenge. They should have killed them. After all, we were still in Egypt. They still had sovereignty over us. Ve'al shem oto anes korim oto Shabbat HaGadol. That's the most understood reason of the Tur. The miracle that Borei Olam caused the Egyptians to not be able to react. Some say there's a midrash that says their stomachs became, started to growl. and they had to run in order to relieve themselves, and therefore they couldn't even take a revenge against the Jewish people. So that's an eskadol. I always think of it, I mean, the avdil, if we would come, you know, on a Sunday morning, and you're in the Middle East, you're in Jerusalem, and you go along and you take the, you know, whatever the symbol they have, the rock or the circle, and you know, you put it on top of a building, and they come to you, the Arabs, they say, what are you doing with this symbol? Then we're going to burn it, we're going to pulverize the rock, and we're gonna make a party, we're going to have a barbecue with it. And imagine that not one Arab blows himself up, and not one Arab makes a noise, and they don't call a day of rage, and they call a day of rage if you sneeze on Harabayat. Already they're making riots all over the country. Could you imagine that they don't react? You say, well, Nes Gadol. Yeah, it's almost as the biggest the Nes is when they announced the embassy. Nobody reacted. There was you know, a couple of staged protesters running around in Gaza that were paid by you know, by the enemies, and there wasn't any reaction. Everybody said, "Wow, it's amazing." Where was the reaction? Okay, that's one thing. But here, all the Egyptians come against Bnei Israel for 210 years. And all of a sudden, we're committing the worst crime you could commit. We're taking their God and we're slaughtering it. And we tell it to them, "Bepeh Maleh," we tell it to them, you know, openly. It's like we said, "Oh, nothing. We're being nice to it. We're worshiping it." No, they told them, "We're slaughtering it. We're going to make a barbecue." So that's Shabbat Gadol. Al Shem Oto Anes, Kodim Oto Shabbat Gadol. Comes the Bet Yosef. The Bet Yosef says, that's the reason, but then he says, go look at Tosafot. Tosafot in Masechet Shabbat, on Pezayin Amud Bet, gives another reason. He quotes it. He writes, "V'chatva tzafot, itztaf pezayin amud bet, dibura matchil ve'oto, v'nimsa b'shabbat she'avra lakhu pesachem, v'alken korin oto shabbat gadol, lefi she'asa bones, kitad be'midrash, k'shelakhu pesachem be'ota she'ara nitkabsu b'chorot." Shel Mitzrayim Etzel Yisrael. Oh. The Tosfot says, who were the ones that came and confronted Bnei Israel? It was the Bechorot, the firstborns. V'shalum, and they asked Bnei Israel, Lama ayu osim kach? What are you doing? What are you doing with our sheep? Amar lahem, amru lahem, Zebach Pesach ula Hashem, Shiharog, Bechorem Mitzrayim. That God is going to kill all of you as well. The firstborns. Halchu etzel avotehem. So they went back to their fathers. Ve'el paro levakesh memenu shishlechu Yisrael. So they went to their fathers and they said, do me a favor, let these people go already. They already heard that right after Korban Pesach is going to be Mekad Bechorot. And they believed it. Because already Moshe Rabbeinu was batting 1,000. He went 9 for 9. He said, dam, there was dam. Sefardeya, sefardeya. Now already they're telling him there's going to be a Makat Bechorot. So they went to their father, they said, do me a favor. Till now, we weren't in danger. Now it's going to be Mesirut Nefesh for us. We don't want to die. Let them go. Ve'lo ratzu. And of course, the parents, in typical Arab fashion, you know, they don't care if their kids die, and they send them out to go, you know, blow themselves up. So it's nothing changed. You know, this is already embedded into the psyche of that. Ma'aseh avot siman lebanim. Hagar is no different. When Hagar, you know, sent Ishmael out, she left him, and he was dying out there, and she went away. And it's the same. Ve'asua bechorot milchama. So the Bechorot now made a milchama. Against who? Against their parents. V'hargu mehem harbeh. And the civil war broke out. Like the other one in Tahrir Square. You had a bunch of Egyptians now killing each other. The firstborns are killing their parents. And of course the parents are defending themselves. So you had a slaughter. When they asked me a few years back, when the war in Syria started, they said, what do you think about the war in Syria? I said, I hope both sides win. You know, it's a win-win. So the same thing over here. The Egyptians started to kill the firstborn. The firstborn started to kill their fathers. And the Pasuk says, Hadaw dikhtiv lemakim etzrayim bibchorehim. Lemakim etzrayim bibchorehim, the Pasuk says. That God smote Mitzrayim with their firstborns. The Pasuk should say, Lemakim bibchorehim Mitzrayim. Here it says, no, Lemakim Mitzrayim bibchorehim. That God smote the Egyptians using their firstborns. That's why we once explained, by all the plagues, it says the plague's name, Dams Ferdeh. By Bechorot, it says Makat Bechorot. Because it's coming to hint two items. First, you had Makat Bechorot, that's the Makah of the Bechorot to their fathers. And then you had Bechorot, that's the regular plague that the Egyptians, Bechorot, died. Two different plagues. You have the Makkah of the Bechorot, that's what they did, and then you have the Bechorot, that's what happened to them. Nonetheless, we have these two reasons. So I had a question. The question that I had when I saw the Bet Yosef was, why did the firstborns go to the Jews and ask them, what are you doing with the Korban Pesach? They didn't know yet that they were going to die. They only found out after they approached the Jewish people. And then the Jewish people said, oh, yeah, we're going to kill the firstborns, you're next. But before that, why were they the ones? Which means, everybody in Egypt worshipped the sheep. So why does Tosafot say, specifically the Bechorot were the ones that made the protest against the... against the sheep. I mean, that's Tosfos language. Kishilakru pesheim beota sha'an itkabsu bechorot shel Mitzrayim. Why bechorot shel Mitzrayim? So I searched a bit, and to my delight, I found that actually the Gaon Maharsha asked this question. The Maharsha in Chidushei Agadot. He says, Mahar Sha'ayin betosfot. What's the case, Rabotai? Aval in Shabbat, Pezayne. Ayin betosfot, Aval betur or Hayim Siman Taflamid, Heviya Midrashaze, Be'anyan Acher, Shayushinehem Kahot, Al Shoshokatim Elohim. So the Maharsha makes another point. He's holding. What's the real reason? Is it because, like the Tur said, that they came to the Jewish people and they said, what are you doing? And they said, we're slaughtering your the sheep, and the Egyptians didn't react? Or is it the civil war that broke out? Which Nes are we commemorating, the Maharsha is asking? It's two different reasons. So what he does is brilliantly, he makes them one. He makes the reasons one, and he says the following. V'acharet dikduk b'ma'amar kefi ma shekadvu ha-tosfot kishlakhu pesachim nitkapsu b'chorot mepnei ma nitkapsu ha-b'chorot me'ikara yoter m'shar ha'am. Why did the b'chorot come more than any other people? Sharei adayin lo egidu lehem shi'arug b'chorei Mitzrayim. So what motivated them to make the protest? אבל הכוונה היא כי מזל תלה הוא ראש ובכור לכל המזלות והוא עצמו מזלן ואלוהיהן של מצרים. So the Maharsha goes on to explain, it's really a Ramban, very very important yesod in the whole story of Egypt. He goes on to say the Ramban, We know that it says in a few places that the Egyptians worship the sheep, the seh, or the lamb. And the question we asked is, these were sophisticated people. The Egyptians know that the sheep cannot be a god. How can they worship a sheep? They know you could slaughter it. They know it's an animal. How can they make their deity such a low item? They know the sheep also has waste. It has excrement. The sheep smells. Why would they choose that as a god? Such a people that had, at least at the time, they were considered the most advanced people. So the Ramban says, of course not. They didn't think the sheep was God. But the sheep was a symbol of their God. And he goes on to explain the concept of the zodiac, which we've discussed it, but we have to review it quickly to get to the point of tonight's Dirash. Listen, there is such a thing called the zodiac. You're not considered an atheist if you believe that there's something called zodiac. The zodiac is a configuration of the stars. That's a mitziut. It's like, somebody comes along and says, I was giving a shiur on a Monday night in the Chomot Levavot. So I said, the theory of gravity. So one of the guys came to me after and said, I don't know if we believe in gravity. I don't believe in gravity. I once heard in yeshiva, gravity is doesn't go against any of the principles. As far as I know, it's not one of the 13, ikare emunah, that you're not allowed to believe in gravity. Now, some people have a certain idea because they heard it's science. Well, science. We don't believe in gravity. So what's happening? It's not gravity. Okay. Anyway, there's nothing wrong to believe that there's a zodiac. It's a mitziut. There's stars. There's configuration of the stars. The problem is to believe that the zodiac is controlling the events. That's where the problem becomes. And that's what the Egyptians believed. That's all already predetermined in the stars, and every month the stars are configured in a different shape, and based on the shape, that's where they give the names of the zodiacs. So therefore, they believed that the father of all the zodiac signs is the zodiac in Nisan. If anybody follows their horoscopes, which they shouldn't, I know if you're born this time of year, the springtime, Chodesh Aviv, so the zodiac is called Aries. And Aries is a lamb, it's a sheep. That's what it is, because it seems the stars are in that shape. So they believe that the father of all the zodiac is the sheep. And then that's a signal that everything is based on stars. And therefore they found the sheep, the physical sheep, and that became their symbol of that they worship the mazal. So they weren't worshipping the sheep itself, but it became a holy symbol. Lehavdil, again, I don't like to talk so much. It's no different than the cross. The goyim don't worship the cross itself. The cross is not an avodah zarah in itself, but it represents a story, whatever the story is. There's a whole shema, can you sell a cross? Selling a cross is not like selling a Buddha. It's a Buddha. It's considered avodah zarah. The cross itself is a symbol of some sort, a piece of jewelry. Similarly, was the sheep. It wasn't avodah zarah in the sense that they bowed to it, but they respected it. They revered it because the sheep represents Aries, and Aries is the father of all the mazalot. Incidentally, the Mefarshim say that that's why specifically Yitziat Mitzrayim happens in the month of Nisan. Because Borei Olam wanted to show the Egyptians that not only are your zodiacs worthless, but the Jewish people are going to leave in the father of the zodiacs, which is the strongest one. That's when we're going to leave. And the Mefarshim say, Ramban writes, the zodiac becomes at its peak, at its apex, at the middle of the month, at the full moon. So therefore, if you'd ask an Egyptian before Yitziat Mitzrayim, what's the luckiest day of the year for an Egyptian? Luckiest day of the year. Well, it's got to be Nisan, because that's Aries. And the 15th of Nisan is when you have the full moon. So for the Egyptian, the luckiest day of the year is 15 Nisan. That's the day they tell you, buy a lottery ticket, invest in business, do all the sigulot on that day. like we say, if you have a court case against a Gentile, take him to court in Adar because you're going to win. That's what they used to say. Mishnechnas hamisha asar b'nisan marbim b'simha, because Aries is at its peak. Little do they know, on that day b'davka, the 15th of Nisan, when Aries reaches its apex, v'nafochu, Borei Olam says, on that day, al apam v'al hamatam, against their will, they were subjected. That's the famous Ramban. Oh. That's why also we're taken out in Chodesh Aviv. The Mefarshim say Aviv is spring. But Aviv is four letters, Aleph Bet, Yud Bet, which stands for Av Yud Bet. It's the father of the 12 zodiacs. Which means in Nisan it's Chodesh Aviv, it's Av Yud Bet, it's the father of the 12. And once already you knock down the father, so that everybody else falls as well. You don't have to fight all 11 after. Once you got the kingpin, so everybody else is weak. They all fall down, the Batel, the Tafel. Oh. So the Maharsha, based on that, Ramban says a big chiddush. He said, who were the priests in Egypt? The priests actually were the firstborns. Why? So he says, because it was befitting. Since the Taleh is the firstborn of the Mazal, so therefore let the firstborn Egyptian be the one to represent the congregation in the service of the firstborn of the Zodiac. Based on that, he says, now we understand why the firstborns, the Bechorot, got excited when they saw the Jewish people taking the sheep. They were the priests. So they didn't know about Makat Bechorot yet. It's true. They were coming to defend their God. They came with their collars, and they came with their holy water, and they walk into the Jewish home, and they come along and say, Mazeh v'al mazeh. And they tell them, oh, we're taking this sheep over here. And they said, do you know the sheep over here? This is our representation of God. This is a holy symbol. What do you intend to do with this holy symbol? In the name of the church, in the name of the, archdiocese, in the name of the Pope and all the tzaddikim. And they come along and say, we're taking it and we're going to slaughter it. We're going to paint our houses with the blood, because we heard that it's a good red paint. We're going to skin it like we never skinned an animal before. We're going to make a rotisserie, and we're not going to leave a piece. We're going to eat the whole thing. And God said, if we leave a piece, we have to burn it the next morning. And these people over here, they can't believe it. You couldn't tell a worse thing to a priest that we're going to do to his symbol. And then Maharsha writes, they said, and by the way, you're next. First we're going after the Bechor of the God, and then after we finish with this Bechor Av Yud Bet, we're going to go after the Bechor of the human beings, the one that promoted this whole nonsense. At that point, when they heard that, the second miracle came. They went back to their fathers and said, oh, they're going to kill us. They're going to make a whole mockery of us. And the father said, don't worry, it's not going to happen. They said, you told us dam's not going to happen. You still have blood stains on your shirt. You told us the fardeya doesn't happen. Mommy's still deaf from the wak 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 of the frogs. And grandpa still has lice in his head. So what are you talking about? And then we have still pimples from the shaheen. What do you tell me that it's not going to happen? We're still suffering. And all of a sudden the civil war broke out, and both are connected. I'll read you the Lashon of the Maharsha. So he says, Ki mazal taleh uroshu bechol lechol ha-mazalot, v'hu atzmo mazalan ve'elohen shel Mitzrayim, u'me'ha-bechorot, ve'al ken etkabsu ha-bechorot tfeh, kishilakhu pesen, shayat taleh shu mazal ve'elohen shel ha-bechorot, והיו שניהם כאות, פלחו אצל אבותיהם, דעד שאתה בית מדרשים מתכוונו לדבר אחד. Both מדרשים are now מכוון. Okay, very nice. חזק וברוך, beautiful. At least we have clarity now on what this Shabbat הגדול is. Comes the Bach. The Gaon Bach. In Siman Taf Lamed. And he asked the million-dollar question. Ma shetimehim ha'olam. This is a side point I'm telling you. I always love it. The Bach saying, the question that the olam is asking. Which olam? Which olam is asking this question exactly? Which olam? And he's going to ask a question in a second. He makes it like this is the question. Yeah. In yeshivas, they say the olam has a question. The olam has a question. The Welt has a question. I was wondering, what are you talking about? I never saw this question. I'm living in the world. Nobody ever asked this question. Besides the 50 guys in the yeshiva, CNN's not talking about this question. Fox News not talking about the world. Wall Street Journal didn't write an editorial on this question. But it's the same principle that they talk about in the yeshiva world. In the Gemara, it's the same thing. When they want to say that everybody agrees, what does the Gemara say? Kule alma lo pelige. The whole world doesn't argue on this. What world are you talking about? Most of the world, 99% of it, doesn't even know this concept exists, let alone to argue on it or not. Explanation is, and I said this once in front of Fagelstock at a yeshiva, they had a parlor meeting in Lakewood, and they asked me to speak. And I said, the answer is, because you could divide the world into two worlds, and everybody who's part of the universe is fits into one of these two worlds. There's the Torah world, and then there's Disney world. Those are the two worlds, finished. So, if you're in the Torah world, so that's what it says. The Olam is asking a question. What's the Olam? The Olam is the Olam HaEmet, the Torah world. So it's not a pump. Kula Alma Lo Perhigi and Yeshiva world. That's the world that you live in. That sphere, that planet. And anybody that's not into that planet, so you're in Disney World, you're in the Mickey Mouse, you're in fantasy land. So the Rosh Hashiva, he perked up. He said, what is he saying? Everybody's laughing. What is he saying, this guy? So after I went up to the Rosh Hashiva to get it, he's a big tzaddik. I got a beracha from him. So he says, good gezacht, meaning it's a good, I guess you said good, there's something over there. Anyway, I get excited from that. Mashitimihim ha'olam. In the Bach's world, this is his world. They're all asking this question. In the Bach's circles, his world was asking this question. The amay yechasu lenes ela Shabbat velo liyom ha'asili b'chodesh. Bomb question. The miracle of Shabbat Gadol, it's true. The year that it happened was on a Shabbat, like we said. And that year, Shabbat was on the 10th of Nisan. Normally, when we commemorate a miracle, we commemorate by the date. Every holiday is a date. Pesach is Tedvav Nisan. Shavuot is Vav Sivan. Sukkot is Tedvav. Hanukkah is Kafe. We have these dates recur every year. So if the miracle happened on Yud Nisan, we should celebrate Yud Nisan, whatever it falls out. What's today? Today is the 6th of Nisan. So 7, 8, it's Tuesday. Tuesday will be Yud Nisan. So we should say, Rabotai, Tuesday HaGadol, finished. What are you commemorating? We're commemorating the miracle of... why did they put it on the Shabbat? Means this Shabbat, some rabbi will get up to Shabbat and say, it's the anniversary of, it's really not the anniversary. It's 2 days before the anniversary, 3 days before the anniversary. We just happen to commemorate it on a Shabbat, but it's really not it's not the day. Try to do that on your wife's birthday. Celebrate it a week before the real day. So we're making the birthday this week over here. Well, you won't get away with it. It'll really be Shabbat HaGadol. This will be here. In any event, that's his question. So many answers have been given. So he gives one of the answers. He says, "Kivan imru bo devarim arbe." He says, "Live, everybody talks about this question." V'ani kibalti de'ata amu lefi shebe'asor lachodesh alu min ha'yarden. Aha. Something else happened on the 10th of Nisan. That's when the Jews in the times of Yeshua crossed the Jordan, and the Jordan split. So it was a major miracle. V'mayum yachasim anest yom ha'asiri, v'ayu korim yom ha'asiri yom gadol, hayu to'im lomar sh'al shem anest sh'alu min ha'yerden nikra gadol. Which means if they would have made the yom ha'asiri yom ha'gadol, the people would have said, oh, we're commemorating the splitting of the Jordan. And that's not the case. So they shouldn't get confused with that item. So therefore they said, forget about the 10th. Let's just do it on the Shabbat, because that's the day of the week that it happened. And therefore nobody will have any, miscommunication or misunderstanding. V'lachen yasu ha'davar l'Shabbat. L'fi sh'yadua haya sh'aliyatem min Yarden lo hayta b'Shabbat. Everybody knows that they didn't go through the Jordan on Shabbat. So therefore nobody would make a mistake if you're celebrating Shabbat together. Like, oh, this is the Jordan. Jordan was not on Shabbat. So therefore it was, again, to solve this miscommunication. That's one of the answers. Other answers have been given as well. One famous answer is because the miracle actually happened because of Shabbat. Why? Wouldn't it be so shocking if you saw a Jew in Egypt, carrying a sheep with them? I'll tell you why it shouldn't be so shocking. Because it says in the Mefarshim that the Jews in Egypt also believed in the sheep. And the Jews, 210 years living in a society, you get influenced. So they also started to believe in Mazalot. Hazak Baruch. When the sea split, what did the angels say? Halalu of the Abu Dazara, halalu of the Abu Dazara. That means the Jewish people got, through osmosis, no different than us. We're living in this country for 210 years, however many years. And a lot of the values of America that the Torah calls, abominable, they start to become, tolerant, and we start to, it's not so bad, everybody has rights, all people were created equal, so on and so forth, and you start to become diluted. Stuff that our grandparents would never even, give the credence in the time of day to. So that's what happened in Mitzrayim. So wouldn't it be so shocking if they see a Jew taking a sheep? And the Jews also treated the sheep as a... However, this is, I think, the Levush says. The Jews in Egypt kept Shabbat. Shabbat already was kept from the times of Avotenu and Kedoshim. And the Egyptians knew that the Jews kept Shabbat. When they saw them taking a sheep on Shabbat, they said, there's a Shabbat there. Mukseh. Malachayim Shinhet. This is Mukseh. So that already aroused them. So because of Shabbat, that already started the whole, dialogue between the Bechorot and Klais. If it happened on a Tuesday, they would have seen them and said, okay, good luck. Take the sheep. We don't know what you're doing with it. You're doing whatever you did with it till now. But now already, because Shabbat, they got curious. Hey, we never saw Jews touch animals on Shabbat. You're going to ask me, what do you mean Mukseh is only the Rabbanan? Chazak Baruch. Kesher, they saw them tying it. It's Kesher Shel Kayama. Kesher Kayama is 7 days for the Oraita. Less than 7 days is the Rabbanan also. You want to learn Hilchot Shabbat now? In any event, we know that Avraham Avinu kept the Rabbanan. Kiyem Avraham Avinu, Afidu Ayruf Tafshirin. Avraham Avinu even kept the rabbinical laws. He even kept the Minhagim. He kept everything. So therefore, it's not a problem to say that... They kept the Shabbat with all the chumrot. Fine, that's the answer. However, I saw another answer. And they question, why do they call it Shabbat HaGadol? Well, again, that's the original question that I had. It's not longer than any other Shabbat. I would have called it Shabbat HaNes, which is clearer. Recently I heard that, I didn't get the answer, the former chief rabbi of the state of Israel, and originally was a Tel Aviv, Rabbi Lau Sr. He had another question. He said, grammatically, it should be Shabbat HaGedolah, because Shabbat is Nekeba, Shabbatot. Shabbat HaGedolah, stam. I didn't stick around to hear the answer, but that caught my curiosity. Maybe what we're going to say tonight will answer that question as well, but stam, it's a grammatical grammatical issue. Shabbat HaGadol. You probably have these dikduk guys walking around, Shabbat HaGedolah. You probably have those guys. But nonetheless, it is called Shabbat HaGadol. So why do they call it Shabbat HaGadol? Why don't they just call it Shabbat HaNes? Rabbi Friedman this week in his Ma'amar has a novel. It is a novel interpretation. We must give the rabbi credit. Sometimes he comes up with these, Hiddushim. He bases it on a Hatam Sofer. The reason why I chose to speak about it, because what's today? I don't even know the days anymore. Today's Thursday. So Tuesday, I was in Pressburg, in Bratislava, at the grave of the Hatam Sofer, which was an incredible day. Rabbi Moshe Sofer, Schreiber. The Hatam Sofer's grave is a novelty to see. Because Yemach Shemam, they built a road over the cemetery. They don't care, Jewish cemetery. They just raised the whole cemetery and they built a highway. So some good Askanim, in the 90s, I guess, when they were building the road, they went to, Austria, wherever it is. And they influenced them. Listen, we can't stop you from destroying the whole cemetery, but at least save the grave of the Hatam Sofer and his son, the Ketab Sofer, and a few other tzaddikim. So they built the highway in such a way where they left the cemetery, that part in existence. But the only way to access, you got to go underground. Because it's under the road. It's amazing. You walk into this building, you walk underneath the ground, and the highway's running right on top of it, and you walk into this tunnel. Amazing. And we stayed by the Hatam Sofer for a while, and we made the tefillot. He's the chief rabbi in Hungary, of Hungarian Jewry. He's the greatest rabbi in the whole line of Sofers till today. Anyway, the Hatam Sofer has, filled with Hiddushim. At the grave, we said a lot of Hiddushim of the Hatam Sofer. This is one of them. He says, a klal. He says the klal, a principle. The principle goes like this. When Jews are united, the goyim fight with each other. Again, when Jews are united, when there's shalom amongst the Jewish people, or amongst Klal Yisrael, whatever you want to call it, that causes the goyim to fight with each other. But when Klal Yisrael is fighting with each other, that causes the goy to unite. They asked the Hatam Sofer, where do you get this klal from? Which geometry book did you pull this this theorem? So he says, it's a Beferush Pasuk in Parashat Lech Lecha. In Lech Lecha, the Pasuk says that Lot is traveling with Avram, and they're traveling towards Canaan. That's the Lech Lecha. So the Pasuk writes in Lech Lecha Yud Bet Pasuk Vav, Vayabor Avram Ba'ares Ad Mekom Shechem Ad Elon Moreh VaKenani Az Ba'ares. And the Kenani was, they were in the land. Nothing major. The Kenani were there. Az Ba'ares. You turn the page, and the Pasuk says, all of a sudden, what happens? A fight breaks out between the shepherds of Avram and the shepherds of Lot. Vayhi Riv. Ben Ro'em Mekne Abraham U Ben Ro'em Mekne Lot. Pasuk Zayin. Now the Pasuk says, Vakenani Vaperizi As Yoshev Ba'aris. All of a sudden, the Kenani and the Perizi, as Yoshev, they become strengthened in the land. Before that, Kenani as Ba'aris, nobody paid attention to them. Because Avram and Lot were united. Once already the fight broke out between Avram's shepherds and Lot's shepherds, that already created a bond between the Kenani and the Perizi as Yoshev Ba'aris. His Lashon, Yesh Lomar, Ki Mederek HaTzadikim Liyot Ba'achdut Gamur. When the tzaddikim are united, as kinus la tzaddikim, hana'a lehem v'hana'a le'olam. They benefit and the world benefits. V'zeh atzmo gorem pizur l'rasha'im. That causes a scattering of the rasha'im. V'hipuch b'hipuch. Ki kesh'enam be'ahadut ras v'shalom, gorem kinus l'rasha'im. V'ayinu d'chtib. V'lo nasa otam ha'ares l'shevet yahdav. וכנעני ופריזי אז יושב בארץ בהשקט ושלווה יושב בארץ all of a sudden they were at peace with each other כנעני ופריזי which are normally enemies so I added to this principle of the Hatam Sofer that you see in Megillat Esther in Megillat Esther Haman goes to Ahasuerus And he tells Ahasuerus, Yeshno Am Echad, Mefuzar Umforad Ben Amim. Haman was coming along and saying, the Jewish people are scattered, Mefuzar Umforad. And therefore, if they're Mefuzar Umforad, we have an opportunity now to gather the 127 provinces together, and we can go after them. But I explained the Pasuk based on the Hatam Sofer as follows, just moving the comma a little. Yeshno Amehad, period. If the Jewish people are Amehad, you know what that causes? Mefuzar Umforad Ben Amim. When the Jewish people are united, the result of that is Mefuzar Umforad Ben Amim. The nations start to become scattered. Of course, that explains Esther's reaction. Lech Kenoset Kol HaYehudim. Once already she gathers all the Jewish people, then all of a sudden what happens? A fight breaks out between Ahasuerus and Haman. So you see it works like a charm. Based on this, the Rav brings a Gemara in Sanhedrin. A Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Goy sheshavat Hayav Mita. I wanna Mosgim Lokoshini. Goy Sheshavat Hayav Mita. A goy is not allowed to keep the Shabbat. And let's say he wants to be Mahmir, let's say he wants to be strict, he wants to keep the Shabbat, he's not allowed. So much he's not allowed, he's Hayav Mita. He pays for it with his life. What's the logic? So there's a chida in the Sefer Pnei David. The chida explains that the Shabbat is called Sharbito Shel Melech. Sharbit means a scepter. Remember the kings in the olden days? They used to have the stick, the special scepter. It's the property of God. Sharbito Shel Melech. So he says, the goy is an eved, and the servant cannot touch the sharbit of the melech. Imagine if the servant comes in and the king sees him playing with the magic wand. The king, what are you doing over here? This is off limits. So therefore, goy sheshavat chayav mita, you are involved in abusing sharbito shel melech. But he says, Klal Yisrael has a status of banim. Klal Yisrael are considered the children of God. Banim atem la'Hashem. And since we're considered banim,
So therefore, the child goes in and plays with Shadbit Shel Melech. The king doesn't kill his son, because the son is going to be the king one day. He's the prince. So therefore, he's connected to this principle. So based on this, he says something incredible. Many years ago, on the Hanukkah, we talked about this in a full shiur that was based on something that Rav Shimshon Pinkus talked about. If you remember, we talked about what is the Shabbat. And the way Rav Pinkus explained it at the time, if I remember correctly, he said, Shabbat, Borei Olam took a day off. That's the day he took his first day off. He worked for 6 days. Came Shabbat, Vaychal Elohim, Vayishbot. But it's not enough that he took a day off. He tells the Jewish people, if I'm taking a day off, you also have to take a day off with me. So Rav Pinkus understood that the Shabbat is the day where we bond with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Where many people look at the Shabbat, it's a day of sleeping, Shabbat Rashi Tevot, Shina B'Shabbat Ta'anug. It's a day to regain, energies, to prepare for Sunday. But in truth, he looked at it as, that's the day where we strengthen the bond between our father. The father loves the son. The father says, I took off today for you. I took off a day of work. 6 days I also go to work. I took off a day of work. I'm coming to visit you. Don't go to work either. Take stay home. Imagine that the king comes to visit you and you're working. I'm going to come to your table. We come on Friday night. Shalom Aleichem. Aleichem Shared. I'm sending the ambassadors come first. Before God comes, he sends the entourage. Aleichem Shared come in. The king is coming. They announce the coming of the king. Boachem Shalom. Baruchim Shalom. And all of a sudden it says, we sit down at the table and the Shekhinah is there as well on Friday night. And therefore he says that the Shabbat actually is the day where the relationship between father and son, who's the father, God, who's the son? Am Yisrael. That's why you have to be very careful at the Shabbat table what the conversation is. God is there. Imagine you have a guest at the table and you ignore him. You're talking about cars and restaurants and what you did this week and where you're eating and where you're going and JF and Raya, all the different, and Shekhinah's there. What are they talking about? Don't they say something over here? Therefore the whole Shabbat has to be focused to God. The whole reason why we keep Shabbat is because we're allowed to touch Shabbito Shel Melech, because we have a deen of Ben. The Mekubalim actually write even stronger. They say Shabbat is actually the name of Hashem. One of the names of Hashem is called Shabbat. We know Yud Kevavke, we know Ekiyeh, we know Shem Shakai. There's names. The Gezoa says Shabbat Shematiku Chaberichu. I once saw Siftei HaKamim, he explains that's why when Haman was telling Ahasuerus that these Jewish people, they're always taking days off. Shehi Pehi. He tells them, Shehi Pehi. So Rashi says, what Shehi Pehi? Shehi, Shabbat Hayom, Pesach Hayom. You can never get a Jew to work. Every time you call the Jewish plumber, Shabbat Hayom. I can't come to them tomorrow. You call tomorrow, Pesach Hayom. Shabbat Hayom. They're a bunch of lazy people. Shehi Pehi. So the Siftei HaKamim says, why does he say Shehi Pehi? You say Shabbat Hayom, Pesach Hayom. It's because Haman knew that Shabbat is the name of God. He didn't even want to say it. Because you know, if he says it already, it's going to bring a hashpa'ah down. I learned that many years ago. We go to the mikveh on Fridays. So there's a big rabbi in the mikveh. I was a kid. So every guy that walks out, he tells him, SS, 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 shit, what, SS? So I walked out, I was a kid. So I told them, Shabbat Shalom. Don't you see I'm saying SS? SS is Rashi Tevot, Shabbat Shalom. Why? Because Shalom is the name of God and Shabbat is the name of God. You cannot say those names in the mikveh. The mikveh is like a bathroom. You cannot say the holy names. What he taught me was that not only Shalom is the name of God, that I should have known, but Shabbat is the name of God. As I got older, I saw that Rabbeinu Ari, actually in one of his kavanot in the mikveh, He shows how Shabbat is not only a name of God, it's all the names of God. Very simply. Do you know the name Yudke Vavke? There's four ways to spell the name. Ab Sag Ma Bin. Shem Ab, which equals 72. Shem Sag, which equals 63. Ma and Bin is 45 and 52. That equals altogether 232. Ralat. Those are four names. The other names of God is Ekiye. Aleph, He, Yud, and He. There's ways to spell Ekiye to equal Kasa, 161, Kama, 141, and Kana, 151. If you take all those names, the four Havayot, and the three Ekiyes, plus another name of God called Yudke, and you add all those names together, it comes to the numerical value of 702. Gematria Shabbat. So not only is Shabbat the name of God, it's all the names of God in one concentration. And therefore, Shabbat means Hashem. That's the visitor. The Oreach that comes every Shabbat is the Borei Olam to the house. And he sits with his children. Imagine the father took off a day of work. And he comes to the house and the kid went to work. So I took a day off of work to go visit my child, and he went to the store, he opened the store. What kind of chaos, what kind of disgrace would that be to the Shekhinah? That's the inyan of Shabbat. Not only that, there's an interesting Zohar. The Zohar is Arizal actually. Arizal says, why in the Ten Commandments is Shabbat next to Kibud Avim? I guess what? Kibud Avim is 5 and Shabbat is 4? Why are they back to back? Why are they neighbors on the Luhot? So he says that he has a tradition that if a person, husband, if his parents passed away already, so they're in Gan Eden. Every Motzei Shabbat, they go to the parents that are in Gan Eden, and they say, your son or your daughter went to the Shi'ur on Shabbat and came up with a novel Hiddush, or they heard a novel Hiddush from the Rav and they learned something that they never knew before on Shabbat, and that becomes a Keter, and that Keter is placed on the father and the mother of that person that learned Torah on Shabbat. So he says, Shamoret Yom Shabbat, meaning through Limud Torah, and as a result, Kavedet Abi Chaveti Mecha. Amazing. So you see that the Shabbat has something to do with the relationship between father and son. Not only Abinu Shabbat Shamayim in us, but even the physical. So I added once, I probably saw it from the Chidah. The Pasuk says in Parashat Kedoshim, Ish imo ve'aviv tira'u ve'et shabetotai teshmoru. The Pasuk says, fear your parents, Ish imo ve'aviv tira'u, I keep the Shabbat. One pasuk, it's a garden variety. Honor your parents and keep Shabbat. The explanation is, Ish aviv v'imo tira'u, how? Ve'et shabetotai teshmoru. When the person keeps the Shabbat with the Devre Torah, and they go to their parents and they say, Your children were mechadesh kedushim on Shabbat, they elevate them to the highest madrugah, and they put a special atara. So based on this, that if that's the way we look at Shabbat, so he goes a little further. He says another reason why a goy cannot keep the Shabbat. Hayav Mitah. Because if Shabbat is the day where the father comes to meet his child, the goyim cannot be considered children of God. Why? There's a big question in Halakha. The question discusses serving God b'shituf. You're familiar with this question, which means, is a Jew allowed to believe in God and something else? Chas v'shalom. For us, if we believe in shituf, meaning God plus, that plus, we're guilty. It's considered the capital crime, federal crime. But the halakha says the goyim, the seven mitzvot b'nei Noach, They have to believe in God, but they're allowed also to believe in what's called shituf. They can put God plus. And they do. That's where you get the mother, the father, you know, the ghost, the whole, the whole Havra Kadisha. Shituf. They believe in shituf. They have partners. So I think it's the Sefer Noam Megadim says this. He says, you cannot call God your father if you believe in shituf. Because how many fathers does a person have? You only have one father. I mean, today, who knows what they could do, but in the olden days, let's say, traditionally, you only have one father. So the Jewish people, that we believe in one God, so Borei Olam says, I treat you like a father. But once you're ready, you tell me, no, I have two fathers. So God says, now I treat you like a king, because you can have two kings. Malach Elohim al Goyim. Kings, a person could have two kings on top of him. There's no limit how many kings he could have. So it's midah keneged midah. So interesting what happens over here now, if you start to connect some of these dots. Comes Shabbat, the 10th of Nisan, that year of the Yetziat Mitzrayim, Pesach Mitzrayim. And the Jewish people are like the Egyptians. Halalu of the Avodah Zarah, halalu of the Avodah Zarah. They're worshipping the sheep, just like the Egyptians are. God says, I'm not the father of the Goyim, and I'm not the father of the Jews. You believe in me. How do I know they believe in God? They kept Shabbat. So obviously they believe in God to a certain degree, but they believe in God plus. God plus Malach. I'm a king. All of a sudden, on that Shabbat, they took the Avodah Zarah and they said, garbage. We're destroying it. They didn't destroy it exactly on that day. It took 4 days later. But that's the day where they made the commitment, no more. And they weren't embarrassed to tell the Egyptians. We're going to take this Avodah Zarah and we're going to eat it. And we're going to mock it. And we're going to burn it. On that day, the Jewish people accepted upon themselves one God. On that Shabbat, Borei Olam said, now you believe in one? On this day now, I become your father. On that Shabbat in Mitzrayim, you know what happened? The relationship between father and son became solidified. According to the Hatam Sofer, what happens when there's peace amongst the Jewish people? That causes already a fight amongst the Goyim. So he says, Midah keneged Midah, on that Shabbat, which eventually we'll see is called Shabbat HaGadol, on that Shabbat where Klal Yisrael made peace with their father. Now Borei Olam says, you got rid of the Shituf, now you keep Shabbat properly. Now I come to visit you like a father takes off and the son takes off. We're united. That unity between father and son of Shabbat caused the father and the sons of the Egyptians to start fighting with each other. It worked like a charm, what the Hatam Sofer said. It comes out, the whole miracle was Shabbat. The miracle happens on Shabbat. That's the key day where this whole thing works. It's the Shabbat that created. On Tuesday, Borei Olam, of course, is our father, but he comes to visit the day of the bond, we'll call it. The day of the bond of the father and son is Shabbat. During the week, we're working, we're busy. Borei Olam doesn't give us those days. But on Shabbat, he says, this is the day. It's like a father that tells his son, take off a couple of days, stay with me. Borei Olam does this every week. But every week we were coming to the Shabbat with a sheep with us. Borei Olam says, you're bringing shituf over here. It's not such a good Shabbat. The first Shabbat that we did right is the day we took the sheep and we said, this is nothing to us. Borei Olam says, now you made peace with me. Now you made peace with me? All of a sudden, who starts to fight? The Egyptians start fighting with their fathers. The Bechorot start fighting with their fathers. Now all of a sudden, Milchama breaks out. Why is it? I'm saying a hadush now. Gematria, but a hadush nonetheless. If you take the words Shabbat, the word Shabbat, Shabbat equals 702. Okay, so that's close enough. And you take the three letters. You can count the letters, there's three letters. So 702 plus 3 is 705. That's a gematria. Don't think that I'm stretching it. This is the way you do gematria. You're allowed to count the letters. So Shabbat is 705. Do the math. Shabbat is exactly the gematria Banim Atem Ladonai Elohechem, which equals exactly 705. That you are the children of God. Shabbat is that day where we make that connection of Banim Atem Lashem Elohechem, that we are the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, if that's the case, we understand, he says, why we call it Shabbat HaGadol. This is very clean, very easy. If you open up Masechet Shabbat, there's a chapter in Masechet Shabbat, the chapter actually is called Klal Gadol. That's the name of the chapter. It's the seventh chapter of Shabbat. It's on Daf Samech Zayin. The Mishnah says, Klal Gadol Amru B'Shabbat. The Hakamim gave a very big rule, Klal Gadol. So the Gemara says, "May ta'ama tana klal gadol." Klal gadol. Just say klal. Klal. Klal gadol. You want to give me a rule? Give me a rule. What makes it a gadol? So the Gemara goes back and forth. The Gemara's conclusion is, "Amar Rabbi Yosef bar Avin, Shabbat de'id behu avot." V'toladot Tana Gadol. Shabbat is called Gadol because Shabbat has what's called Av Melachot. Those are the 39 primary Melachot, and each Av has a Toldah. The word Gadol is used when you have Av and Toldah, when you have father and son. That's when you use the word Gadol. Based on that, now we know why you call it Shabbat HaGadol. Because since the whole Shabbat, that Shabbat was the relationship between Av and Toldah, which is us. That day it became solidified, where we gave up the Shituf, and on that day we made peace with the Borei Olam. Bayom Ahu was Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. Shabbat is that moment. And as a result, the Shabbat goes down in history as Shabbat HaGadol, the Shabbat of Avon Toldah, which caused the Avon Toldah of the Goyim to become upside down. Last but not least, this might explain as well the custom that we have, that the whole Leil Seder, Zkan HaBen Shoel, everything is connected with the son asking the father, V'igatale Bencha V'yakish Alef. This night is structured in that system of, it's a father and a son. No other holiday has that structure. Not Shavuot, clearly not Sukkot, where the Torah demands this concept of a son asking his father, that somehow there has to be a dialogue, a bond. Based on what we're saying, now we understand why. Because since the whole miracle of Pesach began with the ultimate bond, V'igatal l'bincha is Osta Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that happened on the Shabbat. That's why we don't commemorate the 10th of Nisan, because it's the Shabbat that did the whole, that solidified the whole deal. The 10th of Nisan, you wouldn't get this whole Chiddush. You need to celebrate the Shabbat. Finally, our custom happens to be we don't read a special Haftarah on Shabbat HaGadol. Ashkenazim do. They read the Arevah. We don't. The custom in Halam was they read the regular Haftarah this week at Tzav, whatever the Haftarah of Tzav is. But it doesn't mean we can't look at it. I mean, the custom in Halam was you don't read it, but you're allowed to say Hadushim from it. That is no custom against. So I went to the Haftarah. You know, you always try to find a connection between the Haftarah and the day. Nothing in that pasuk. Next pasuk talks about sorcerers, adulterers, people who swear falsely, people that pervert judgment. I mean, that's current events every day in the news, but it's got nothing to do with Shabbat HaGadol. Besof haftara. Rabbi Moshe, I go to the end. Hine anoki sholeach lachem et Eliyahu Navi. The pasuk says, I'm going to send you Eliyahu Navi, the prophet Elijah. Lifnei bo yom Hashem haGadol veHanora, or haGadol. Says the day that Eliyahu Navi comes, that day is called Yom haGadol. Just like Shabbat is called Shabbat HaGadol. And what's going to happen on that day? V'heshiv lev avot al banim. V'lev banim al avotam. At that day when Eliyahu Navi comes, there's going to become peace between the fathers and the sons of the fathers. That's why it's going to be called Gadol. Just like Shabbat is called Shabbat HaGadol. For the same reason. Mi'ika avot v'toladot. And therefore, that's going to end up happening. Before Mashiach comes, there's going to be separations between families and things like this. And one of the functions of Eliyahu Navi is to come and do something that's gadol. To reconnect Avot al-Banim, the Banim al-Avotam. And therefore, the connection based on what we're saying tonight is very clear. Rabotai, I don't think... I don't think it's a coincidence as well. Hachamim say that, and the Torah says that the time that we spent in Egypt was 430 years. I'm not going to explain you how, but it's 430 years. The Torah says that. And the siman that the Torah writes, Hilchot Shabbat HaGadol, which is the beginning, is Taflamid, which is 430, which no coincidence, that's exactly the amount of time that we spent in Egypt. And we've spent in this exile close to 2,000 years. And we're consoled when we come to these great days that Borei Olam always made miracles for us. And that's why we say, Kimes etecha me'eres Mitzrayim, Areinu nifla'ot, hen ga'alti etchem, acharit kereshit, that Borei Olam will redeem us. Acharit, the final exile, will be kereshit, that Be'ezat Hashem will have also not only Shabbat HaGadol, but will have Yom HaGadol Bahanora, the day that Eliyahu Navi comes, and then it'll be followed by Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'mirah b'yamenu, Amen.